Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast, an exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. Today's episode, we have a new guest. What is my name?
Siri Vrindavani Devidasi. I think we broke already.
I know. We're trying to keep going.
We are on episode number
101.
Nice. My name is Shama Sangeeta.
My name is Priyadarshini.
And my name is Shamali.
And my name is Siri Vrindavani Devidasi.
Wow, it's so great to have the four of us here today.
If you don't know, that's my voice.
No, honestly, I've had so many episodes where you're going, hello, hello. And this was such a difference.
It's kind of weird.
It was really weird. But yeah. I enjoyed it though.
And you did ask for it.
I did ask for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I immediately regretted it.
Well, we can go back to normal now.
It was wonderful. All right, quick recap of the last episode. Shamali.
Oh, wow. Okay. So basically...
She said, oh, wow.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared. But basically, we were talking about all the different qualities of a devotee. And some of these things may feel very lofty, like don't feel distress under any circumstance. What? That might feel unattainable. But basically, Srila Prabhupada was saying, if we do these steps, if we like... have patience with ourselves, have focus, have determination, we're going to be able to slowly climb this ladder to make it very achievable. We had said the difference with a devotee and a pure devotee is focus. So if we have that focus, that drive, reaching these lofty levels of these qualities, of this connection to Krishna is totally attainable for all of us. And one thing I want to add, because we made a big point about envy and being a friend to everybody. Now, on the Wisdom of the Sages retreat, Kastubha has said something beautiful about a deeply realized yogi is one who is sensitive to how they deal with other people. We always hear that in the bhakti world, that we're very, to be sensitive maybe outside of the bhakti scope might be a bad thing, but in the bhakti realm, being sensitive or not putting anyone in anxiety is a huge important thing to our own selves being receptive to that spiritual energy. Because if we're going to hurt other people and hurt Krishna's devotees, it's almost like an electrical current. Like all of the currents of electricity are running above us now as we speak, and we can't see them. The things that power YouTube, Instagram, all these applications we use, and those currents are there even though we can't see them. So similarly, those spiritual currents are always there even if we can't see it. And we have to elevate ourselves, treat everyone, and not put any soul in anxiety to be able to be a recipient of that spiritual energy. If not, we're going to cut ourselves off from it.
TLDR, just be nice to everybody. Yeah.
What's TLDR?
What, too long didn't read?
Do you Oh, yeah. You texted that to me the other day.
I literally asked my sister,
what is TLDR? And she's like, too long didn't read. And I was like, of course, Shama would say that.
Wait, guys, that's a really common internet term, right? Ella's shaking her head.
Like,
Ella's,
yes.
Gen Z is nodding
at me.
Are
grandmas.
And we, I guess.
You guys didn't know TLDR?
Nah. No, I speak in full sentences.
Me too. Thank you, Priya. Thank you. That was a good response.
Okay, grandmas.
Listen, I don't want to get to a world in which is like HWKYNWKYLYTLDR.
Anyways, what Shamali's trying to say is just be nice to everybody, okay? Just be nice, be kind. Let's try not to be envious.
Could you repeat back to me anything I just said about the electrical current?
Yes.
Okay, what?
Shamali said that just like there's currents that power applications, like social media applications, there's also currents in the spiritual sky. And so don't hurt devotees.
That's what you gathered.
Is that essentially what you said?
I mean, missing a big, like, big thing that made it substantial.
But the essence is correct.
No, you missed the essence. That's not it.
Whoopsies.
The essence is, what are those currencies that are up there that
currents
interfere? What she said, currents.
What is the currency?
Okay, Shamali, just do it again, but shorter.
Yeah.
TLDR.
TLDR.
Whatever that is.
Okay. Basically, if we
short as you can.
No, I will.
Shelby doesn't know how to do shorter.
I do. Okay. Basically, that spiritual flow, that spiritual energy is up there, just like those electrical currents that it power our world that we can't see. If we're going to treat others badly and put others in anxiety, we cut ourselves off from being recipients of that spiritual energy. The only way to be a recipient of that spiritual energy is like a radio. Ah, here we go. It's like a radio. You have to tune it. In the olden days, you had to tune it to the right channel to be able to hear without static interference, to hear the channel. So we have to tune our consciousness and treat each other well
Why are you guys looking at me this way?
That's what I said.
That's not. You said it like,
I totally said that.
Wait. Priya, say it in a second, but Asta, you said it like two disjointed points. You said, there are currencies being lost to people. Like, where's the link?
Wait, can I say that honestly? When you said it the second time around, I realized I also did that.
See, I told you. That's why, Ella, we need TLDR, right?
Because no.
Priya, what did you understand the first time?
I thought that, like...
Now I don't even know.
I thought you meant like there's currencies that like the internet, right?
Wi-Fi. By the way, Priya, currencies are like money currencies, like rupees, dollars.
Did I say currency?
You did.
Twice.
Okay, wait, what am I trying to say?
No, I know what you're trying to say.
Currents.
There are spiritual currents and that are good juju. And if you are mean to devotees, you cut yourself off from the good juju.
Thank you.
That's what she was trying to say. But what I understood was something else, and we should just move on because this was just a recap. So how about we keep going?
It was a very simple, tune yourself to the right radio station by treating each other well to feel the spiritual energy.
You cut me. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm gonna do it to you. You'll be mid-sentence.
Anyway.
I feel like I've heard it three times. That's why I cut you off. I was like, love it. Great. Moving on.
Patience. You got to develop patience.
That's fair. Anything else from the last episode?
Nailed
that's it.
Let's
I think she got
on.
It. Yeah, let's move on.
Oh, are we calm enough to do the invocation?
Yes.
All right. The invocation, please, ladies.
Oh, come on, Shamily. Don't do me like this. I already feel it in your voice. No, okay, Shamily. No. Just, we're going to just do like a quick om to calm ourselves down.
Okay.
Guys. All right, guys, get it together. Okay. Wait. Yeah. Okay.
What happened? You stopped. You were doing it with me. That was good.
The om?
Yeah.
Sorry, I heard this like mild cackling in the.
No, we gotta out. We gotta like sing over the cackling so we can get somewhere.
We're confirming this is Shamily's cackling, right?
Yes, no, we do understand that for a fact. Okay, let's try this one more time. Let's do one more om and then we'll do it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
I'm ready.
Nice. Okay.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
I gotta say that om really worked.
That was really good.
I think I'm gonna... If you teachered us.
You were like, no, let's get it together, class.
We got this. No, but that was really good. I'm just thinking, I'm gonna use that in the future with children.
Yeah, well, I feel worse about myself now, but...
Sorry. I thought she said children code for Shamily and I thought I'm going to let that slide.
No, oh my God. I was not meaning anything by that. I just thought like that was helpful.
Yeah, it was.
And okay, listen, this is what my thought process was. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It was no offense to y'all.
I'm just joking.
That's okay. It's a joke.
Okay. Do you want me to explain it or not?
Nope. Chapter 12, text number 15. Priya Darshi.
I need to.
Okay, go ahead. She's going to do it no matter what. Okay, explain it. You know how
nowadays parents have learned a lot of techniques to deal with their children. Whereas before it was just like a slap, a punch. Maybe not that drastic, but anyways.
Like the rolling pin, the Atta rolling
exactly,
pin.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Like a chancla. There's many methods. Anyways, now parents are like, okay, you got to take 10 deep breaths. One, two, like that. Right. So like I was thinking, om is a more powerful way to like take a deep breath and meditate for a little kid to learn. Cause then they're also saying Krishna's name. Mm. And that all was a really quick thought I had that had nothing to do with y'all. And I wasn't trying to call your children. Okay.
That's very good.
You guys don't
care. Very good. Don't care. All right. Chapter 12, text number 15, Priya Darshini.
He by whom one is put into difficulty. I didn't understand.
No one.
No one understood.
Start again.
He by whom no one is put into difficulty. I still didn't get it, but we'll go on. Mm. And who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress. Fear and anxiety is very dear to me.
This is my point from the beginning about the electrical currents.
Can we repeat that one more time?
No, yeah, the beginning. Say it again.
Electrical currents. Okay. He by whom no one is put into difficulty.
That means you put no one in distress and anxiety. Oh, I thought you were waiting for an explanation. Sorry.
I think she wanted me to read the whole thing.
Yeah, read the whole thing.
He by whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety is very dear to me. I understand it now.
Yeah, I understand. Like you put no one in anxiety, so you can be receptive of the spiritual.
Like it says, no one who's so like they are not disturbed by anyone, and they also don't disturb anyone.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly. Just the gist.
You don't annoy people, and you're not annoyed by people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Totally. I like this. This is like your current thing.
I knew it.
You're like I said that.
And then both of you were like, doesn't make sense. Anyway, no, we
didn't. You could have said that way shorter.
TLDR. And it is like, thank you, Shama. It is like the electrical current. So basically, yeah, this text is describing a few more of the devotional qualities that someone has when they reach that level.
Do you know anyone who's not who fits this? Ooh. This verse, like I'm thinking about it. I think this is like spiritual master level.
Yeah.
Cause like who's not, doesn't bother anyone and is not bothered by anyone is the essential thing, right?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say like a practical day on anyone's life, even if you're a very saintly, loving, wonderful person, there's got to be a person or a moment that bothers you.
Right? I was about to say someone cutting you off
or like when you're driving or like even a fly maybe landing on food that you just prepared. It could be so minute and minimal that you might be bothered.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking about my own life for a second and like I don't get bothered too easily. They're like once in a while, but I feel like I do bother a lot of people. So
what?
I got to work on that part.
What? I think everyone loves you. I don't know what you're talking
about.
That's
not true. I feel like I can like annoy people sometimes. And so I think there's like a balance here, right? It's like, how do you not be annoying, but also not be annoyed?
Yeah,
that is the question.
I was about to almost say the same thing you said, Priya, because it's one thing if, let's say, someone has a very easygoing nature and they're a people pleaser, they might not bother others, but to then say, are you never bothered by something or by someone? Or if you're very sensitive, maybe you're hurt by things. Like, so to be just totally equipoised in your mind that you can let it run off like water on a duck's back, like, wow.
What an amazing quality.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the most appealing qualities like a partner even can have is to take a difficult situation and not be so bothered, right? Like make it light or funny or whatever it might be. And that's hard to accomplish.
Yeah.
Even in friendships, even in other situations, like when something difficult happens, our reactions are, you know,
normal,
not measurable sometimes. Like you can't like, sometimes it's just like, you know, I don't know what to do with this, whatever. So that's,
but how do we get better at this?
Yeah, I think baby steps, like wherever your baseline is at, if you know, I'm this amount reactionary or this amount bothered by things, just the more time you have with your own mind and your nature, you just go working with it little by little. What could be the next little baby step from here? And each week bringing awareness to something can help with it.
Yeah. That's good. I think also, remember Krishna's in everyone's heart.
Yeah.
So where? The person, what?
Where?
Krishna's in everyone's heart.
Got it. Okay.
What?
I just had a brain fart for a second.
Okay. Okay. I was like, did I say that weird?
No.
I couldn't figure it out. So like, you know, that person that cuts you off, like just even if they're not, try to picture them as a gentle old grandma. Mm. Like, are you really going to be bothered by a gentle old grandma driving in a way that it wouldn't be the same way you would be driving? Like try to like, you know, just kind of be like, Or you could do this. Someone's cutting you off, right? They got into your lane. It was kind of dangerous. You're like, what the heck? You can think, oh my God, maybe there's a pregnant lady in the front seat and they need to go to the hospital. Or maybe they're going to poop their pants and they need to go home. Like, just be kind to them because you don't know what their circumstances.
They're probably going
to
poop their pants.
Yeah. Like, if that helps, right? It could be a little ridiculous to think of silly examples, but like, if it helps you be more compassionate in those moments, then you'll be less bothered. Right. And if you can kind of be that, then maybe it gets easier along the way. And I know that's just one example, but
that was pretty wise.
Yeah, there's so many examples that you can think of. How does this verse affect me? So if whoever's listening, I think it's helpful to sit with it and think, in what practical way does this affect me? And how can I work with that? These are kind of like checklists of progress.
Yeah. And I also think astrologically. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I also think astrologically. Shama's
tell
like,
me more.
I'm awake now.
I am listening.
No, the glaze has left her eyes.
Okay. So I think also there's multiple aspects like maturity, age. Just there's certain times in life, like when you're a teenager, where a lot of people annoy you, bother you, like everything's bothersome. Like there's periods of our lives, right? So like we also have to give ourselves grace that with maturity we should try to strive to be less bothered. Mm-hmm. But then astrologically, I do think that sometimes,
yeah,
there's moments that affect you more than others, people that affect you more than others, and like, you know, circumstances, retrogrades, Gatorades, whatever they are.
Mercury and Gatorade.
So like that kind of stuff, I do think it affects us. And so then to be more vigilant even then, because it's not necessarily that we're creating it, but there's karmically things that are being brought into our attention, and how we handle those also, right, is very important.
Yeah, I do think it's important, just for the record, to talk about things astrologically. I was listening to Wisdom of the Sages the other day, and they had this wonderful astrologer on. And the astrologer said, who's also a devotee, he said that Krishna manifests himself in the planets to deliver our karma.
Wow, interesting.
And so literally, like the things that are happening, the planetary changes, they affect our life and our karma, right, and our even our reactions to things, right? Like if we have Mars like transiting the first house, right, which is our personality, and we're having a difficult fight with someone, karmically we're set up to respond with aggression, right? And so now we have to fight that karma in order to be unbothered and not to bother people, right? Yeah. So we need to like really remember this verse when things are difficult.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think another concept helps to be less bothered, or at least for me it does, and I think for everyone it does. The concept of the higher taste comes into play when you start seeing things a little more, there's a phrase, rather than see the philosophy through your emotions, see your emotions through the philosophy.
Ooh, say it again.
Yeah, so rather than see your emotions through the... No,
you had it right the first time.
Rather than see the philosophy through your emotions, see your emotions through the philosophy. Ooh. So whenever we're experiencing emotions, it helps me to take myself out of the moment and think, will this thing I'm fretting over even matter in a year, 2 years, 5 years? What's the bigger picture of why I'm here? I'm here to grow. I'm here to evolve. I have this beautiful little plant of devotion I'm trying to cultivate. Let me think of that for a moment. And then everything else kind of feels less weighty. And then if the next day it still is valid to bring up or bother you with whoever it is, then you can talk about it peacefully. But if not, oftentimes that taking yourself out of the situation helps. And it's like the higher taste, because then we're in touch with something that is so much more nourishing than other petty things that might have bothered us. It's like, it's okay. That doesn't really bother me, actually. I'm in touch with something so much greater. And that's the connection with Krishna.
I love that. This is a lifetime goal.
Yeah.
To not bother or to not be bothered.
Okay, so what were the methods we just thought about? Let's just summarize them real quick for our listeners.
Look through the philosophy. What did you say?
Look at our emotions through the philosophy instead of backwards.
Yeah.
Think about people pooping their pants so that we're more compassionate to them.
Okay.
That was one of the great methods.
Yes. Think of ways in which we can be compassionate by imagining scenarios that they might be struggling with or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember that Krishna's in everyone's heart. So how we treat them is ultimately how we're treating Krishna in some way or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say in any scenario, just try and sit on it and see if it still bothers you the next day. And is it valid to talk about? And most of the times, probably not. And if it is, okay.
Yeah. Putting that like a little bit of space before the reaction.
We talked about this ages ago that this world is full of stimulus and responses, and trying to spread the gap between a stimulus and a response is where that meditation comes into play.
There you go. Now you have it.
Love it.
So that's this episode. I'm just kidding.
We talked about who is equipoise in happiness and distress. We talked about that a little bit, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we talked to this about quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
It's just like in the last episode. Good, bad, who's to say? That's also another thing that we've said many times. And like in hindsight, things look differently. So give it time so that you can see the hindsight.
Yeah. It's interesting because as far as treating people well, not putting them in anxiety and not being envious of them, Prabhupada says something in the purport that generally someone who's super materialistic, they naturally become happy when we get sense gratification for ourselves, and they become disturbed when they see someone else has something that we don't have. That's just such a natural tendency. But we have to try to let go of those, like, I get happy for me and upset when other people thrive and are happy. Because a devotee, we're always transcendental to all these disturbances because we have our eyes set on Krishna. So,
yeah. Very sweet.
And then fear and anxiety. Someone who is not disturbed by fear and anxiety. I was talking to my mom about this the other day where she was like really scared about, you know, like terrorist attacks in Europe and all this all this stuff. And I was like, Mom, as a devotee, you know this. Like, we can wake up and we have two choices. We can either choose love or fear, right? Mm-hmm. Fear that Krishna's not going to protect us, or love knowing that Krishna has our back and no matter what happens, he'll always take care of us, no matter what happens to us. And literally those are the only two choices that we have the moment that we wake up.
Beautiful.
So what are you going to choose today?
Love or fear?
Love it. That's super sweet.
Mm. And that can apply to everything, no?
Mm-hmm. Everything. Every day. Anything else?
No, I love that. I'm going to frame that somewhere in my house at some point.
Oh, wow.
I like it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anything else before we move on to text number 16?
Go for it.
All right. Krishna is saying, my devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result is very dear to me.
That's intense.
Without cares. That's difficult. Like we tend to worry. We're a worrying society.
I find this really easy.
This whole thing?
Okay. Well, no. Just that one part that Shalini was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Right. So my devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities.
Does that mean like because we have Krishna consciousness, anyone who's like fully devoted, they don't have to like do the rat race so much and they can just sort of focus on Krishna?
I don't know if the rat race is something like...
It's more like I'm picturing like a devotee who's like lives at the temple and does service all the time. They're not really concerned with like trying to figure out a paycheck or their boss or this or that or like all of the, is it talking about that?
That's interesting.
I don't know. Could be both, right? Could be we're not dependent on the ordinary course of activities. Could be someone even who's in the real world and just putting the endeavor but detached from the result. Like,
of course.
Not going to worry. Then,
yeah, Prabhupada's talking about like waking up early and showering and doing devotional service. And like most people are not doing that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that like the person who is not dependent on like what everyone else is doing, but like actually doing the things that will get them closer to Krishna.
I see. So you want to talk about some of those things that Prabhupada's saying?
Yes.
I can start. Oh, you go.
Go ahead.
Naturally, a devotee takes a bath at least twice in a day and rises early in the morning for devotional service.
Thus, he is naturally clean both inwardly and outwardly. A devotee is always expert.
I thought Shamali was going to read it too.
Oh, I didn't realize what we were doing.
Okay, so a devotee is always expert because he fully knows the essence of all activities of life and he is convinced on the authoritative scriptures.
A devotee never takes the part of a particular party, therefore he is carefree.
Oh. Like never takes sides. We're just neutral. Yeah.
Like doesn't take role necessarily in politics or in...
Just the regular affairs that everyone else is into.
Ah.
It's like doing things a little bit differently, right? Like majority of the world
so attached.
Yeah. Yeah. That. And also like the majority of the world is not waking up early and chanting 16 rounds and like doing devotional service, right? That's literally 99% of the world is not doing that.
Yeah. It says here, devotee is never pained because he is free from all designations. He knows that his body is a designation. So there are some bodily pains. So if there are some bodily pains, he is free.
Yeah.
Huh? Like he doesn't identify with his body so much so that if there are pains in the body, he's like, well, those are not me.
Yeah.
Wow. That is some level of elevation.
Yeah.
That is intense.
And, I want to say quickly, the whole doesn't take part in politics. Someone hearing might think, well, politics are important. And yes, to some degree, they govern everything happening in the political climate, in the state, the country, and even broader scale. But at the same time, I think that's because we know that that's not the ultimate goal. Whatever party wins, still people are going to be dissatisfied, unhappy, because if they're not connected spiritually, everything else just isn't the answer. And politicians and leaders back in the Vedic times, they used to be rulers who were in charge of making sure people were connected spiritually, were in line with their dharma, they were evolved people. So I think... or evolve spiritually. Nowadays, you don't look at politicians as people who are going to help us strive for self-enlightenment. So I think that's why they're saying, take it with a grain of salt, not that it doesn't have any impact on our socioeconomic climate.
Also, I think there's some people whose dharma is to be in politics.
Yeah,
I know a few devotees who are in politics. And like, I think, we have to understand that we all come here with a different dharma. Mm-hmm. Some are meant to be actors, some are meant to be politicians, and that's all okay, right? Because yeah. it's about why you do what you do, and that you still maintain the understanding that Krishna consciousness is like the ultimate goal. Right?
Totally.
And so I think like my statement was more of like trying to figure out what Prabhupada was saying by like a devotee never takes part of a particular party. And the first thing that came to mind because right. of everything that's going on in the world a little bit was like political parties maybe.
Well,
but
I agree
sure
with what
other
you
examples.
Said.
Yeah.
In general, it's true. They don't really get so fazed by politics. And I just was adding that as a statement for someone who might not, I don't know, hear it for the first time and think, what? Politics are important. How are you going to be apathetic to it? And I was just thinking, well,
yeah, quite not apathetic reasons. Per se, but just like, I mean, we vote.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
devotees, it's not like you shouldn't vote or don't do anything, but it's also like, don't get so caught up.
Exactly.
Unless
exactly.
it's your dharma and then you want to do something about it and mm-hmm. make it your life's mission, and then that's fine. But don't get right. so caught up that it becomes like fight between devotees
totally.
Or
totally.
Like this or that. Yeah, yeah. Like that's not the goal.
And when I,
go ahead. Yeah, no, I think it's also like, I think even when it comes to politics, I think we do our duty, but we're detached to the mm-hmm. result, right? Like mm-hmm. we vote because that's our duty, as our civic duty.
Right.
But I think like we vote, but we're not attached to the result because the result yeah. is beyond our control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think when you made the point, Priya, that some devotees are politicians, others are actors. That's a great point to say that we all have our individual dharmas. And it made me think of the Beatles, how Prabhupada encouraged George Harrison to continue his life as a singer and a celebrity and not to give it all up because that's his dharma and he can reach so many people through what he's doing. And he did write songs where he incorporated the Hare Krishna mantra and he did right. so much service.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So the part that I was talking about is like, who is pure expert? That's a little bit hard. Without cares, I was like, I feel like I'm...
You've mastered that one?
I feel like I'm good at it, but maybe to a fault, you know?
Yes.
Where it's like, I'm really carefree. Mm. And I think that affects people in my life sometimes, like Priya.
No, we're a great balance.
No, we are a good
about
balance.
This.
Yeah. But I think that's an important, like, I'm none of the other things. Trust me, none of them. But I think that's such an important quality because when you're without cares, you put so much reliance and faith in Krishna that no matter what happens, I know I'm going to be okay because Krishna got my back. And
totally.
I believe that 110%.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the only part that I find like,
yeah.
you're like, I got this.
Yeah. But yeah. everything else, pure? Nope. Expert? Nope. Yeah.
Well, actually, expert sounds lofty, but when I read the sentence Prabhupada wrote on why we're experts, it's like, yeah, I could see that. He says the devotee is always expert because we fully know the essence of all activities of life. So like, we may have our own things that we're struggling with, but this philosophy carries us. I'm an expert because I'm carried by this great wave of mercy of this philosophy. And that's what
like,
makes us.
In a world in which the whole point is to go back to Godhead, you have all the knowledge and all the tools.
Totally.
So therefore you're more expert than anybody else who doesn't have this knowledge.
Absolutely.
Because you have this
yeah,
kind of thing.
Totally.
Right? Just like,
yeah.
you know, whoever is like very skilled in carpentry is an expert, right? So like if we are very expert in this science of Krishna consciousness and understanding the reality, then we are experts in the world. Mm. I guess that's what.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And we're not saying that we don't have progress to make. We still have to climb the steps of this ladder back home. But we're experts just as, like you said, we have the tools. We have yeah. them in our tool belt.
I have a question. Mm. So if Krishna says my devotee ... is not striving for some result, does that mean we should not strive to go back to Krishna?
Hmm.
Well, I think that's different. Technically,
is that the only goal that we should have?
I feel like the results aspect is always meaning...
like material.
Yeah. Okay, it says here, the pure devotee does not endeavor for anything which is against the principles of devotional service.
There we go. Yeah.
So like when it says like we're not striving for a result, it's anything that is against the principles of devotional service.
Right.
Okay, so we can have Krishna-esque goals.
Of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, as we were just talking about, we all have a dharma. So in that dharma, you also have to have some goals, right? Like if
yeah.
your nature is to be a comedian, to be funny, like you have to have goals in order to continue that dharma. Like Arjuna, he had to like learn how to fight and do all those things. And he still had to go to war, even though his main like life goal is to be, you know, a devotee of Krishna. Like that's still his
he
dharma,
still had to
right?
go to work every day.
So yeah, exactly. exactly. So like, you know, there are things to, strive for, but ultimately the highest way to strive for something is to strive for Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. You know, under the topic of having goals and striving for big things, I actually asked one of the gurus in our line this question because I was reading a little book by the personal servant of Srila Prabhupada. It was a whole compilation of his memories. And I read one little section where Prabhupada said, he was talking to the parents of this one boy. It might have been very circumstantial because the parents were like very go-getters and maybe they were a little bit like, why is our son in Krishna consciousness? Anyway, so Prabhupada basically was like, no, devotees, we're not ambitious. And one of Prabhupada's servants was like, Prabhupada means to say we're not ambitious materially. And Prabhupada was like, no, we're not ambitious. We just are happy serving Krishna. We're not ambitious. And I read that and I remember thinking, I'm confused because my spiritual master always said like, tried to encourage his disciples to do big things in preaching. So I asked Jayadvaita Maharaj that question, like those sound like opposing views. And Jayadvaita Maharaj chuckled and he said, well, Prabhupada also did say, he basically was saying he thought that was a very circumstantial answer to those parents because he said, Prabhupada also did say, I can't help myself but always be thinking big, like thinking big in service and how to achieve Krishna, you know?
Mm. I like that.
Yeah. Shama has one word that she's going to make fun of you for.
What?
If I'm not wrong.
Say it. What
is it? It's compilation.
That's what I was thinking about while you were talking.
The whole time.
And I knew she was thinking that.
But I listened to everything
you
said.
Thank you so much, Priya. I could tell your face. You were fake listening and I hate you.
But I was like, is she right to call it compilation? Am I wrong? Compilation.
Compilation, yeah.
Compilation.
But I was like, but I second guessed it. I was like,
and then you looked at me and I was so focused on what she was talking about that I didn't catch it right away. But then
I was like, is Shamali right? Is it compilation? No, have I been saying it wrong my whole life?
But the whole point of Shamali. The whole point of what Shamali was saying. Makes sense.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great point that Shamali made.
Compilation.
Yeah. And you just forgot the rest of it. You're so silly.
I couldn't focus. And I went on a whole tangent.
But you know what?
Head.
I was really proud of her for not laughing or interrupting you while you said
that. Baby steps.
That's called growth in Krishna consciousness.
Oh my God. Gonna make fun of Shamali less. Check.
I'm working on it. Krishna.
Okay. Prabhupada also says here. He was talking about not endeavoring for anything that goes against principles of devotional service. And so then he gives an example. He says, constructing a big building requires great energy and a devotee does not take to such business if it does not benefit him by advancing his devotional service. He may construct a temple for the Lord and for that he may take all kinds of anxiety, but he does not construct a big house for his personal relations. So I guess what he's trying to say here is like, we will face anxiety. Sometimes we will have fear. We might have happiness, we might have distress, but when we're doing it in the service of Krishna, then it's a different whole thing than if we are doing it for our own sense gratification and our own results and our own benefits.
And that's a great point, Priya, because I think that can be applied practically whenever we hit many crossroads in life where it's like, do we want to take this route or that route? And that's a great lens or compass to ask ourselves, well, is this going to be so much endeavor for not much spiritual gain? Like, what's the purpose of this? We have to try to simplify our lives to whatever extent we can so that we can make spiritual progress.
Yeah, for awesome. Sure.
Text number 17. Shamali.
So you wrap it up.
Compilation.
Shut up. Text 17.
One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things. Such a devotee is very dear to me.
Oh, can you read that one more time, Shamali?
Yes. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things. Such a devotee is very dear to me. Krishna says.
This is hard.
This is hard.
Very hard. This is hard, guys.
But wait, but is he saying like, these people that are dear to him have to have all of them together? Or like, can we line up with at least one of these texts?
wait. So knows we're trying. Has a checklist. Can we get like one out of three and still get full marks
exactly.
on the test?
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
No, why not? Come on.
Guys,
okay,
it's a journey. It's a journey.
For us, yes.
It's a matter of growth and progression.
Shamali and I understand.
We understand.
So
Moving on.
Rejoices nor grieves. I think this is so hard because good things happen and bad things happen, and it's like hard to not
Okay. I feel.
Tell me.
Maybe I'm wrong. But I feel that when this. You guys.
Let's keep doing it.
That's so annoying to a listener.
Sorry, listeners. We just felt we were really in it.
It was really funny.
It was a good tempo, comedic timing.
I feel like when it says one who neither rejoices nor grieves, like. I would like, Shamali, I would like to believe that it means in excess.
Yes. So we can rejoice and grieve a little bit.
Like, is that wrong? Or is that like, what is Prabhupada saying? Like I don't want to put my own words. I just like.
Ooh, I know.
Shamali, go.
I mean, I think I know. I don't know. Yes. Because this might sound like a very high standard. Like, oh snap. Am I not supposed to feel any sadness when something bad happens or any happiness when good things happen? So the way I interpret that is like, let's say. Whatever.
Let's be robots.
Yeah. Like if someone close to me passes away, am I just supposed to be like, well. They're not the body. Toodaloo. Like, yeah. No. Mm-hmm. And actually, I know examples of so many elevated personalities who broke down crying so much when their close god brothers passed away or when Srila Prabhupada passed away. Those elevated pure devotees who were his first disciples, they were brokenhearted. That doesn't mean we don't feel the human emotion. It's just what are we grieving for? If I'm grieving for something spiritual, those spiritual connections that I have with people who inspire me, that's okay. That's okay to cry over that, to lament. 15 days after Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, they killed all of Arjuna's sons and he went so mad with emotion. He wasn't like, well, oh well, their soul will continue. No. And he was so elevated.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
What is the appropriate time frame to grieve or rejoice that A, you are not going to be designated as a social outcast for not taking too much time to grieve or rejoice, but also you don't eliminate yourself from going back to Godhead because you've taken too much time being emotional about grieving or rejoicing?
First and foremost.
Yeah.
Devotees are outcasts. We just discussed this like a verse ago.
Yeah.
We don't fit into parties of any kind. We're kind of like our own little thing.
Okay, so
yeah, but, you but probably weren't listening. It's okay.
That's probably true.
But to be fair, I understand what you're saying.
What is the appropriate time to grieve so that we are not looked upon as robots?
I think we should ask someone who knows more than us.
My initial thought is, I don't know if it has to do with a time frame and more that does this lamentation prevent me from making spiritual progress? Because ooh. I can grieve, but continue making spiritual progress.
You know? Now you have it. That's a great answer, Shamali.
Wow. Thanks.
She nailed one.
So like
finally,
if you're crying so much,
yes,
you can't chant
yes.
that day, you got to stop.
Oh. Yeah.
But if I'm crying, but I bring Krishna into that emotion and it takes me deeper on my spiritual sentiment, wonderful. That's okay.
Now honestly, do rejoicing. What about rejoicing?
If you're enjoying too much for too long that you can't chant your rounds. I'm just kidding. That's a rule for everything. You can't chant your rounds.
That's a good rule, actually. I like that. That's good.
And here Prabhupada clarifies.
Can we just read the whole purport? It's super tiny.
Oh, yeah.
Just do the whole thing.
One sentence at a time.
Go. Yeah? You want to go?
Sure. A pure devotee is neither happy nor distressed over material gain and losses, nor is he very much anxious to get a son or a disciple, nor is he distressed by not getting them. So I think it's material stuff. That clarifies what we were talking about. It's material gains that we shouldn't get so swayed by.
Okay.
If it's something like we're attached to our family that we love, that help us on our spiritual path, we're attached to our spiritual masters, it's okay. That's good.
Okay. If he loses anything which is very dear to him, he does not lament.
Similarly, if he does
similarly,
not, similarly,
sorry,
if he, nice try. If he does not get what he desires, he is not distressed.
He is transcendental in the face of all kinds of auspicious.
I didn't understand. Start over, please.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Oh, I'll read it for you.
Please do.
Okay. He is transcendental in the face of all kinds of auspicious, inauspicious, and sinful activities.
Good one.
So, like, he's like in Vegas and he's not phased. Mm.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Trying to bring you guys back.
That's good.
That's good.
He's like crying. You're both
we're
crying.
Both crying because we're laughing so hard.
Oh right. My goodness.
It's contagious.
Me and Shelly are always trying to one up each other because she's still mad about the capillation.
She really is. And then this one blew up in my face and I ended up looking like a fool. So that made it even funnier.
That's
you
okay.
Let it go, Shelly. Right. You can't.
We're very competitive, me and Shelly.
If it's harming your spiritual life, you have to stop.
That's true. It is harming our spiritual life.
I've concluded Asta harms my spiritual life.
You need to
no, revenge.
Revenge. That. Yeah. You need to knock it off, Shama.
Anyways, next sentence. Shama Sangeeta.
He is prepared to accept all kinds of risks for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord.
Nothing is an impediment in the discharge of his devotional service.
Such a devotee is very dear to Krishna.
Shamali, just laugh out loud, girl. It's like weirder than just like silent.
No, I was gonna take a deep breath and read it, and it just cracked me up that you knew I wasn't prepared.
I
knew.
I got you.
Okay, thank you.
So Krishna, yeah, I think you get it right. Like not to be too happy, too sad, nor like lamenting. And then
mostly for material stuff.
Yeah,
material
but
stuff.
But also if it impedes in our sadhana or like our spiritual practices, then check yourself.
And then Krishna says, one who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things.
Mm.
We're supposed to renounce auspicious things?
Well, what do you...
Material things.
What do you picture when you say that?
Yeah, like what is an auspicious thing?
An auspicious thing is...
Money?
Yeah, I guess. It, now I think of like auspicious material things.
Like Lakshmi, money is, I guess, potentially
it
considered.
Is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing.
No.
Depends on how you use it.
Definitely not a bad
thing. I think it could also be renounce it internally that we don't want to lord over it. Like, this is mine. But there's many devotees who, when they accumulate a lot of Lakshmi, a lot of money, they use it for good causes. Like, so I think it's a lot about our internal mood towards these material things.
Well, I think also like it's saying to not, what is the sentence again? To renounce both auspicious and inauspicious things. I think it's also, it's just a matter of balance, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Like, imagine someone who's like really, really greedy for service. I don't know. Is that a bad thing? Actually, no. Like,
no,
I'm trying to figure
good.
Out what auspicious things is Prabhupada talking about. And he doesn't say anything else further in the purport. So,
yeah, I think it's all like materially. I think we just need to be careful of like material good things and bad things.
Because spiritually, auspicious things are nice. Ultimately, we just want to be focused on Krishna. So, not let anything get in the way.
Sorry, I can think of an example, but I don't know if it's the right example. So, please, you know, bear in mind like pujas for demigods.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, that could
auspicious.
Be.
Auspicious.
It's very auspicious to we do it this way
necessarily
or that way.
Make it our focus.
Totally. Mm.
Because it's not the path that we are being given by
Touché.
Krishna. But like, that's the only example I can think of really. And I just don't, there must be a broader spectrum.
I think that could be an example because in bhakti, we're striving for love. So even if there's other things that are even spiritually auspicious, if we get so consumed by like, wow, when this sign, let's say, they say it's auspicious when it rains, when the sun is out, and we're so consumed by, so today's my lucky day, it's so auspicious, whatever. It could be fun, but don't get consumed by auspicious signs and things that are, we're supposed to just be focused on trying to cultivate love and bhakti for Krishna.
I'm also thinking about like feng shui or like
feng shui.
Like feng shui. Oh, thank you. Well, that's a hard word. Okay.
Shama.
No, I'm just thinking. Okay.
Or like, you know, like they have like Vedic house planning and stuff.
Right,
like,
right.
So like, but it's like if Krishna's in your home, there's going to be wellness in your
Touché.
Home. So I guess it's like getting too caught up in these rituals.
Too caught up.
But I don't know though. That's a question for someone more smarter than me.
No, I agree. I think it's about keeping priorities and not getting too caught up in all these things.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's great.
That's great.
Wonderful, ladies. We are going to be on the next episode.
What is happening?
Beautiful Asta.
See you next episode.
See you next episode. Chapter 12, text 18. Thank you for joining us.
Hari
Bol. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.